Join executive producer and former Victoria's Secret model, Summer Helene, and get the royal tour as the Duchess of Hollywood takes you behind the scenes and gives you an insider's guide to Hollywood. Get the scoop and all the dirt, and listen in on location with Summer Helene as she guides you through the entertainment world. Summer will challenge everything you think you know about Hollywood. Because of its mature content, Behind the Scenes with Summer Helene is recommended for an adult audience.
Yes, welcome to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene, and this is a very, very sad day. I am coming to you live from Palm Springs, California. Today is September 11th. It is a day that changed everything. One comment I heard was from my mentor, Paul, over at Paramount. He said, "No film will be made the same, and this will forever change the look of pictures in New York." I didn't think that was a very strong statement at the time. I was a little bit shocked. Then I realized anything that can change the face of Hollywood or change things as we know it or change that global reach is a very powerful thing. I knew my grief over September 11th. I knew that it was I can't even find the words. It was a real human tragedy. I also knew that we would never, ever have a moment that so forever changed Hollywood. I would like to take a few moments of silence in remembrance of those that lost their lives and the heroes that went in to save lives. Please take a moment of silence with me. On September 11th, Steve Buscemi, who used to be a member of the fire department in New York, stopped acting and started helping. He joined up with his old fire department to save lives. People tried to take pictures, and he wouldn't allow it. He truly believed it was a moment of devastation for this country, and I think we can all agree. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And God willing, nothing like this would ever happen again. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Leatherface on. We have John Kessner, who you guys love. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, good. We were doing a moment of silence for the victims of September 11th.
Yeah, 14 years today.
Amazing, isn't it? Do you remember where you were when you heard about this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was driving home from, I work in nuclear security, actually. That's my real life job. And we got off of our night shift and was driving home, and the sun was in my eye. I was playing with the visor, and I noticed on the radio, because I always drive the company, my shift, you know, the guys home. And I noticed there was no music anywhere. And I'm hitting all the radio stations, and I'm like, why is there no music anywhere? And I started listening, and I heard started hearing about what happened. And I woke everybody up. I said, "Hey, something's going on." And when I got home, that's when I saw that the towers had been hit and the Pentagon had been hit, and there was still a plane. And just, you know, then the whole world changed, basically.
I think that is a day that changed everything for everyone.
Everything. We didn't feel safe anymore. We didn't feel, you know, secure. It was devastating on a lot of levels to a lot of people. And I know in my industry, the job I work, you know, the National Guard showed up. You know, we went into a siege mentality.
I was on Fort Lewis, Washington when it happened, so I know what you mean by the siege mentality. Everything shut down.
I walked outside the next morning, and there wasn't a plane anywhere in the entire sky. And you don't realize how much you know, how many planes there are and how much activity there is until it's just completely stopped. And so, yeah, and it hasn't changed. I mean, it changed everything, and then, but, you know, it hasn't changed since that moment because threats became very real. And
well, I think it took away a nation's sense of security. I think it took away all our sense of security. It really was globally shocking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I don't really trust the people who are trying to protect us right now in our own government, because I think they're making some huge mistakes. They're letting our guard down. And I just don't think we're ready to move on to the point of forgetting. And that's the issue that I have right now, is because I just don't see our enemies lightening up at all. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot less of them now than there were then, but it doesn't seem that way. They're still out there and they're still dedicated to what they're doing. We're just trying to do everything we were doing, which was not trying to kill somebody, but they haven't stopped. They're still there. So anyway, that's just, you know, my take on that. But
I think
we need to keep the guard up, because it's not over. It's not going to end.
I don't think anyone ever is going to get over that. You look at it, it changed Hollywood in a big way. It changed everything for everyone. Yeah. One of the best stories I heard was the Steve Buscemi story. Did you hear about that?
He was a firefighter. I just that he was a firefighter. I don't know if I don't know. If I
He used to be a firefighter. On September 11th, he went back to his old fire station and got to work. People tried to take pictures and he said, now's not the time. No, it's not why I'm here. Yeah. You had John Travolta giving his plane to move people, supplies, things. Like, it's amazing when you have situations like this and like Katrina, the outpouring of support that people get. But I think it's important that we don't forget those people today.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, you know, obviously a day like today is a day to remember and a day to really, you know, reflect back on it and apply that to today and tomorrow. It's still going on. I mean, really, in a sense, it's not stopped.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep our guard up. We're just, you know, just, I suppose, you know, like, the stomach of crash in 29 or World War II, you know, we just have to say the world's different now, but, you know, what are we going to do with it? Let's do the best we can to back to where we were anyway.
Well, I know what we're going to do. People like you, people like me, we are going to make the world more entertaining. The police firefighters, the military, they're going to make the world safer. The teachers are going to make the world smarter. And that's, I think, what needs to happen. We always need to remember we're all here to make the world just a little bit better and not let things like this happen again.
We have our space, and our little tiny little spaces we each have, we can do something with that. Even if it seems like everything else is going to hell, we can, you know, we can take care of the space around us and the people around us and the lives we're living. We can just do that. I mean, I find myself anymore telling people, turn the news off. Just turn it off. Just, it's a nice day. Go outside. Just, you know, find that friend that makes you laugh, or just do something. I mean, now we have the 24-hour news cycle, and we have I get alerts on my phone. Like, if the wind picks up, it's like, oh, dust storm. You know, I mean, I'm in Phoenix, so, you know, there's some guy out there who's turned our main freeway into a shooting gallery. You know, it's like the phone is constantly dinging, and, you know, I could turn the TV on any time of the day, or the radio, and bang, there's something. I mean, I could just fill myself with all of this stuff. And, you know, so this is kind of unique. This is the only thing unique about our tragedy, is that we can completely feed off of it, which they couldn't do back then for the other things. And I think that could be harmful. I think that could be a big harm. It's like, folks, come on. The people, you know, the people are out there, the police and the fire, they're there and they're going to do their best to protect you and everything. Don't dwell on this 24/7. Don't let it poison your life. So anyway, that was all important. I don't have any of that written down.
It was a good improv.
We're the first generation or first people who are bombarded with this all the time. And you know, back in the day, you waited on a telegram or you went to the movie theater to see a newsreel. You didn't have TV, you know, or did you know? So, but now it's what I see different. And I think that's driving some people crazy. There's a few people I got to pull back from the edge once in a while and tell them, it's like, look, you need to let go of this. You need to stop. You need to start living your life. You need to stop the news feed. You don't need that crawl at the bottom of the screen in your brain 24/7. It's not good for you. So anyway, everybody out there, just look at yourselves. Just say, am I watching too much news? Am I feeding off of this? And besides, you don't even know if it's real news or not. You don't even know if you're getting the straight story.
Well, yeah, but, you know, coming from the Hollywood perspective, news is a story. Though I have respect for the anchors that won't put crap on television. I do. The ones that draw that line and say, you know what? No. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but how many of them are those?
I can count one.
Yes. I don't even know of any.
We have an interesting show today.
Awesome.
We have R.A. Mihailov. He played Leatherface.
Great. I'm a big horror fan.
I know. You had to be on for this show.
We're 50 days away, I think, from Halloween.
That's the point, man. That's awesome.
My geeky Halloween Facebook creepy friends. 50 days away. So this is perfect.
Exactly. Guys, we're going to break. We'll be right back after. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with John Kessner. This is Behind the Scenes. Right after the break, we have R.A. Mihailov, best known for his starring role as Leatherface in Leatherface. Chainsaw Massacre 3, we've got a whole bunch. We'll be right back, guys.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, guys. I want to thank Scott Haskin for that beautiful music. I'm your host, Summer Helene.
And you are on with John Kestner and I on Behind the Scenes. I am coming to you live from Palm Springs, California. I'm out here right before the African Oscars, which are tomorrow in Los Angeles. I'm really excited. I'm here to get my hair done, actually. It's a great hairdresser. Her name's Tiffany Welsh. Guys, if you get a chance, check her out. She's doing my hair for tomorrow. Check out beautybytiffany@AOL.com. Email her there. Check out beautybytiffany.com. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Instagram. Or you can give her a call, 760-808-9906. She works at my salon in El Paseo. Really, 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 really awesome. Really awesome lady, does great work. You got to check it out. I will post some pictures from the awards show tomorrow night. I'm going to be there with Vincent Ward. I'm really excited. He's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I remember
you talking about him before. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going with Vincent tomorrow. And I'm going to go see Tiffany tonight. So I'm actually really excited about that. We have a great show today. We have Leatherface on. R.A. Mihailov. We're going to get him on. I'm excited. I figure, guys, I'm going to sit back and listen because, you know what? I think John's going to have more questions for him than I do. He's getting ready for a tour.
He is?
He is. He's doing a tour.
Really?
Hello. Is this Summer Helene?
This is Summer Helene. Welcome to Behind the Scenes. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. We're really glad to have you. I am on with John Kestner, who my audience likes better than they like me. And he is a huge horror buff, so he has like 401 questions for you.
Wait a minute. I can't believe your audience, nothing against John, but I can't believe that your audience likes him better than you.
They do. Apparently he's nicer, more personable, kinder, you know, that sort of thing. So you
tried.
Exactly.
Tried not to be too, and that didn't work out very well.
No,
either,
so. Everyone likes you, John. So you played Leatherface in the Third Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, the one that was actually titled Leatherface: The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
What kind
of? Well, first of all, let's ask. What do we call you? You're R.A. Mihailov. What do we call you? What do your friends call you?
You can call me R.A. is fine.
R.A.? Okay.
Yeah, R.A. is fine. That's what most people call me.
Cool. Okay.
Some people that are aware of my small wrestling background sometimes call me Brute, as in Brute Bronson, the Iron City Savage.
Yep. We were going there next.
Okay. Wow.
But generally everybody calls me R.A. and that's fine.
You're getting ready to go on tour.
I am. My annual Halloween tour.
I love Halloween. It's my favorite type of year. Everyone else likes Christmas. I like Halloween.
What does a Leatherface do on tour? Because that, you know, that could frighten some people. Let's kind of nail down what a tour consists of.
Well, I'm rather interested too.
Yeah. Well, what I do on the tour is I make personal appearances all across the country.
Okay.
I do conventions. I do personal appearances at haunted attractions. Basically, what I do is I sit at a table. I have pictures for sale. I meet and greet people, tell stories about the trenches of, you know, Hollywood, pose for photographs, sign memorabilia, and just generally have a good time. I like doing it.
Now, awesome. You know, I just did Days of the Dead in Indianapolis in June.
And I've done that before.
I'm not going to be able to. Yeah, that's a great one. And I've done it here in Phoenix. And a friend of mine, I can't do it next weekend, but a friend of mine is going to be at Son of Monster Palooza. And that's a good one.
I'm there as well.
Next spring. Yeah, those are I love those shows. So I haven't run into you yet there, so I'm sure that'll happen eventually.
Yeah, tell your friend to come by my table and say hi. I am a marquee guest at Son of Monster Palooza.
Oh, cool.
Are you going to be at Son of Monster? Well, I'll send him your way because he's got some stuff that he's getting signed for me. So, because little Damien from the original Ohm is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry, I'm going to miss that show. Yes, Harvey Stevens, all the way from England. And I think he signs tricycles.
Oh, really?
He will,
Yeah, he'll sign the little red trike that he knocked Lee Remick off the balcony with in the
now,
original Omen.
What is the weirdest thing anyone has ever had you sign at one of these conventions?
This is a family show, is it?
No, this is not. This
really.
Is 18 and over, so whatever you want.
Well, it's not weird, but not in my book anyway. Ass cheeks and boobies.
I think John
nice.
Wants your job. That was,
yeah.
John now wants your job. How did you get into acting?
Wait, before I will tell you one thing, though. One time a girl, Kane Hodder and I were together at a show. A girl came over, had us sign her shins, and then went and had our sisters tattooed on her shins.
Okay, that's badass.
Yeah, I see that a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened. That I see that a lot at those shows. The girls go get the signatures tattooed permanently.
Okay, that's pretty badass. I got to give you that one.
Those are major fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was the badass one. She's the one who got her shins tattooed.
Yeah.
Wow. That to me is amazing. What got you into acting? What got you into performing?
It's just something that I naturally gravitated to. When I was much, I for some reason really took to visual arts, you know, like painting and sculpting, things like that. But all of a sudden, I got the act bug when I was 15 years old, and I wasn't even allowed to join the high school drama club. But as soon as I was eligible to join the high school drama club, I jumped in, got a starring role in my first tryout, you know, and that started the ball rolling. I loved it. I was, you know, you're sort of a fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
That saying?
Yeah.
In my high school, I was a whale in a mud puddle.
Now
where
you
was that
I come from a real small, my high school was a real small, consolidated country school, you know, and, there wasn't a whole lot of competition. So I consistently landed the male lead in every play. And, you know, that gave me a false sense of success. You know what I mean?
That's pretty good though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what was that in?
Huh?
What city was that?
What state? Where were you?
I'd rather not say. It was just out in the country.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I'm from out in the country too, so.
So what was the best? What was the best role you've gotten so far?
Oh, I can tell you the three best of my career in chronological order.
All right, I want to hear.
Okay, the first one, of course, was Leatherface. That was a game changer for me. You know, it allowed me to. You know, it allowed me to, you know, become well, first of all, I played the title character. That was my childhood goal. My childhood goal was to be a movie monster. And I'm serious about this. I used to sit in my room reading a magazine at the time called Famous Monsters of Filmland. And I would think to myself, that's so cool, man. How do you get to play the Frankenstein? How do you get to play the werewolf, you know? And so... as I got older and realized acting was a profession, I decided I wanted to, you know, be a movie star. And that moment was the meeting of my childhood fantasy up against my ambition.
Yeah.
So that was my first favorite role. I mean, how could it not be? That's basically the reason why we're having this conversation.
It's a pretty badass role. It's a very badass
yes,
role.
It is. It's an iconic character, you know. I liken it to you know, the biggest horror icons are Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, Leatherface, and Pinhead.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they are.
And
those are the modern horror icons.
I liken it to the, you know, the universal Frankenstein, Dracula, Mummy, the Creature, you know.
Yeah.
Wolfman.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
So, and those, you know, those were my influences as a child to be in that realm realm or level or whatever you want to call it. It was phenomenal. So that was my first favorite role. You ready for number two?
I am. I want to hear number two.
I did a movie called Hatchet 2, and I had a character named Trent Graves. Movies.
Which character?
I played a character called, his name was Trent Graves.
Okay.
In Hatchet 2.
Hatchet 2. Okay. Is he the killer in that?
No. The character is Victor Crowley, the killer, played by my good friend Kane Hodder. And they actually wrote the role for me to be the first one ever to fight back, fight the killer. Everybody else in all the other movies have been summarily slaughtered.
Yeah.
But they brought me in to have a knockdown, drag out, rafter shaking, balls to the wall fight with the killer.
Nice.
Now that's pretty badass.
It is.
Now, is there going to be another hatchet? Because that tells me whether you made it or not through that fight.
Well, okay. John, here's the deal. The movie's called Hatchet 2, not Trent 2. So.
Okay. Oh, there we go. That answers that.
I end up curb stomped on a big oak dining table.
Ouch.
The top of my head goes sliding across the table. So
I saw part of the hatchet. That sounds about right for those.
Yeah, films. And it was, and that sort of ended me in the hatchet series. Except the top of my head did make it into number three.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know
that's
what?
Cool.
I've seen a little bit of the hatchet films. People just don't get killed. They go flying. Pieces of them fly. Just literally.
Yes, exactly.
I like that. Guys, we are going to break. We will be right back. I'm Summer Helene. I'm your host on Behind the Scenes. We are on with R.A. Mihailov. We are talking about Halloween coming up, his tour. We are on with John Kessner, who you like better than me. We will be right back. Thanks, Scott Haskin, for this beautiful music.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi guys, welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. I'm coming to you live from beautiful Palm Springs, California. We have a really rough connection today. But we are having a good time. We are on with John Kessner and R.A. Mihailov, best known for playing Leatherface. So I'm going to leave a lot of these monsterdom questions to John.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, guys.
Could you hear me okay? Because you sound kind of sketchy.
I can hear you great. It's me that sounds sketchy.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
All right.
All right. R.A., are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys?
Oh, awesome. Hey, by the way, did you know that Famous Monsters is back?
I did not.
Yes, Famous Monsters is back. I talked to their editor. Actually, I even wrote a piece for them and sent it to them. They haven't read it yet, but Famous Monsters magazine is back. If all you monster horror fans remember from the 60s, 70s, I mean, that's when I was into it. Forrest J. Ackerman published Famous Monsters of Filmland, which was the monster magazine back in the day, and it is now back up and running. So actually, R.A., you might want to walk around, maybe Son of Monster Palooza. I saw him at Days of the Dead here in Phoenix. They had a big display.
I'll definitely keep my eye out for them.
Yeah, look for them. Did you have a bunch of those when you were a kid?
Of course I did. I had every single one, you know.
Did you? I found a copy. Because I lost most of mine. The only thing I hung on to was Vampirella. I still have all my Vampirellas.
Yeah, especially with Frank Frazetta covers. Duh.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I hung on to those, but a lot of the Famous Monsters they just got overused and fell apart. But I did get my Godzilla and Rodan cover one from 1974. Which was my first one. I found a good copy of that at one of the shows you do.
Well, I have to ask you on behalf of the audience, for people wanting to get into the horror genre, I can say from a studio perspective, it's one of our more profitable genres. Usually it costs less to make. It's one of the best genres, and it always has a place. You're going to sell anything, you can sell horror, because horror touches you in a place that nothing else does. There's humor, but there's also primal fear. What advice would you give somebody looking to get into the horror industry, the horror part of our industry?
Well, as an actor, you don't have the power to pick and choose your parts. So I would just say, if you have aspirations to be an actor, then you have to act. You know, many times people will come up to me and ask me, hey, what do I have to do to be an actor? Are you studying? No. Are you participating in local plays? No. Well, then what's the deal? If you have to do it. The easiest way to start is get a job as an extra and learn your way around a set.
That's very, very good advice. I had a write-in. It was from a guy named Ross in Los Angeles, California. He wanted to know how to get into the monster genre, into the horror genre. So that is your answer, Ross in Los Angeles, California. You're an actor. Take some classes. Do something with it. Use that talent.
Yeah. There's always a film community everywhere. I mean, you know, it's not Hollywood, but hey, they're out there doing stuff and making stuff happen.
Start on stage. How about that?
That's a good way to start. That's a very, very good way to start.
Absolutely. I mean, every community, that's why they call it community theater. Every community has a theater. Many church groups have put on plays. You just can't.
Probably not going to find Leatherface down at the Baptist church, but, you know, that's okay.
No, but, you
playing
know,
something else.
hey, but, if I dig back in the dark recesses of my mind, I'm sure I played a shepherd in the church, in the church play one year or something like that, you know?
There you go.
That works. We have...
That's hilarious. You got a little kid who's playing a shepherd, and I'm going to grow up the Leatherface.
Yeah. See, that's pretty cool, though. I have a question from Kendra in El Monte. I couldn't read that for a minute. I need some glasses or something. Kendra in El Monte wants to know what the most challenging role you've ever had is.
Oh, that is an excellent question. Challenging in what way? Difficult or I don't know. I mean, this is something I just love to do so much that any chance I get to perform it's not really a challenge. It's a joy. what I mean? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
That's a good answer.
I do. I think that's a good answer. There's no.
That's a good answer.
We have a question.
What was the third role? You were talking about your three favorite
roles.
That was
the next question. We have Rosa in Los Angeles asking what were the rest of the roles. So that was good timing, John.
I am so glad you asked, because I definitely have to talk about this. Coming to theaters in February is a movie written and directed by John Schneider.
Does that
ring a bell?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah.
AKA Bo Duke from the original Dukes of Hazzard.
Yep, yep.
It's a movie called Smothered. And my dear friend and colleague Kane Hodder, myself, Bill Moseley. John, do you know who Bill Moseley is?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Devil's Rejects, yeah. I mean. And big name in the horror community.
Exactly. The three of us star in it with some other people. Malcolm Daynar, who was in Christine. Don Shanks, who was one of the Michael Myers. And we play broke down, beat up, broke, has been horror celebrities who can't make any money at conventions. Schneider's in the main room, you know, in the movie. Schneider's in the main room with Michael Berryman, and they're just, you know, signing away. Kane and I are in a side room, and people come in, look at us, and turn around and walk out. So we're not making any money at a convention. I'll try to make this short. So we Kane gets a phone call. We get an offer to go haunt a park.
Haunt a what?
We get an offer to bring our signature characters to a trailer park to haunt the place.
Oh, okay.
So once we hit the trailer park, of course, everything starts to go bad, and most of us end up dead.
Well,
okay, that's pretty cool, though.
When I say this sounds fun, I'm saying as a horror fan, this sounds fun. So my kind of fun.
Yeah,
and
well,
all the horror,
you know,
fans we're talking about.
Yeah, we've done a few sneak preview screenings, and the fans really seem to like it a lot.
And what's it called?
Smothered.
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 Okay.
We're going to have to see that.
I have to look for that.
So yeah, we have 5 minutes left with Mr. Mihailov. Guys, I've got a lot of questions coming in for you. Oh, no, we don't. We have 20 minutes left. I've got a lot of questions coming in from you guys. I'm really sorry. We're not going to get to all of them. We'll do three more questions throughout the show. And yes, we will continue talking about the films. Thank you for the multiple question. Talking about the films that were his favorites. So thanks, guys. Be patient. Now, I want to see this Smothered movie.
Oh, yes. I hope you do. I'm real proud of it. I have to say this. John Schneider is the greatest guy in the world. I love him, man.
He's a nice guy. I've met him, too.
He sounds like it.
He's just a very gracious, nice guy.
I've never heard anything bad about him.
No, we shot it down in Louisiana. I had so much fun down there. I stayed over a week after I was wrapped to go motorcycle riding with John.
I want to go motorcycle riding. He's from the Dukes of Hazzard. Come on, I want to do that.
Well, come on.
I'd like to. What was your favorite part of shooting Smothered?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what it was. Kane and Bill are very smart. Bill Moseley is a student of Yale. Kane, I think, is a member of Mensa. Mensa, or whatever that is.
It's Mensa. It's the high IQ.
Yes, exactly. So between takes, and Don Shanks is very knowledgeable as well. And so is Malcolm. Everybody's pretty smart. Anyway, so between takes, we would have heated, long discussions about definitions, just obscure facts, just all kinds of stuff. We would try to one up each other with some profound information.
That is very different from my experiences on set. Then again, I was involved in Mall Cop. So,
oh, really?
that sounds like a very, very, very good thing. Yeah, just on the distribution end, nothing major. What was your third favorite role?
My third favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's my role in Smothered.
No, yeah, I beg your pardon. Yep. And then, and your fourth?
And there was only three.
Yeah. No, well, what would be your fourth? If you had like one ringer, what would it be?
Oh, okay.
I'm not asking these questions. These are online. This is the audience. Oh.
Okay, let me think about that for a second. My fourth favorite role, maybe the role I did when I got my Screen Actor Guild card. How about that?
That would be a good one. That's the one that gets you going.
Cinema.
And here's something interesting about that. I got cast in the movie at the rap party.
Okay.
How?
This was many years ago. It was a movie called Moving Violations.
Was that with Richard Pryor? Or was that with somebody?
No.
No?
No, that was with, oh gosh, who was in it? James Keach, Bill Murray's younger brother was making a stab as an actor, making a shot. I'd gone to casting down in Culver City and read for a role, walked out of the casting office, ran into Jennifer Tilly, who I know very well, or used to know very well. And the casting director saw her, grab me and give me a hug. Oh, all right, what are you doing? You know, Jennifer, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm going. So I walked her to her car. And so they cast me in a role, you know, like driving a delivery truck or something. But then I got the bad news. They cut my part.
Oh.
So I was out. But a few weeks later, I got a call. Come to the rap party. The director wants to take another look at you. And they cast me in a role as a pig farmer.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I've never heard of that happening. Guys,
yeah,
we are going to a break. We'll be right back after this. I'm going to go get my hair done by Tiffany. I'll tell you all about that. But we are going to be right back with R.A. Mihailov and John Kestner here on Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. Thanks again, Scott, for that beautiful music. We'll be right back. And yes, I'll answer two more questions.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at @joyofbusiness or Twitter at @joyofbusiness and share your pictures with hashtags #businessdoneware and #joyofbusiness. Let's change the world with business.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. Thank you, Scott, for that beautiful music. And I want to give a quick shout out to Cindy Honeg of Pure PR. She's one of my favorite people in the world. Check her out at purepr.okc.com. She's really, really good. She makes people, places, and things famous. And I can tell you, if you get in a bind, she's a great one to call, especially if you're in the industry. She saved my butt more than once. And after the show, I'm going to sneak off and get my hair done by Tiffany. And that's Tiffany Walsh at beautybytiffany.com. She is absolutely fabulous. I'm going to the African Oscars tomorrow with Vincent Ward from The Walking Dead, so that should be really, really fun. We are on with R.A. Mihailov. We are talking about Leatherface. We are talking about getting famous. We are talking about Hollywood. And I will say, Off-Road Rentals in Palm Springs, California, is happy to give away free ATV rides for whoever does the best Leatherface for Halloween. So go as Leatherface. Show us what you did. Show us if you can look as good as Mr. Mihailov here. And you could win some prizes.
There will be some stiff competition.
There will. I know. I have people online asking me to do this competition.
Yeah. I have been to these shows and seen these guys. And some of them, I wouldn't be shocked if it was real skin.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
How well they're not allowed to bring a real chainsaw in, but I'm not so sure about the leather face mask. I'm a little scared about that.
See, that's pretty cool, though.
It is cool. I love going to these shows. They're great. But hey, Ari, I got something I'm kind of curious about. The Hollywood Ghost Hunters.
Yes, our paranormal investigation group.
Yeah, you guys formed that with Kane after you visited the Ohio State Reformatory. Is that true?
We were actually doing a movie at the Ohio State Reformatory, a.k.a. the Shawshank Redemption Prison.
Yeah, and that place is supposed to be really haunted, right?
Uh-huh, exactly. And I had already wrapped my part in the movie, but Kane was still there, and our co-founder Rick McCollum was still there. And they went ghost hunting in the prison. And at that moment, they decided that they should start, you know, doing it on a regular basis. So that was the nexus of Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Now, remember this, Kane and Rick McCollum are stuntmen. Okay.
Okay.
So I think the reason they brought me in is because I wish we had visual on this, but you know, two stuntmen, they needed to bring in a pretty face. Ergo, okay. Ergo
that,
me.
That makes sense.
There you go.
I love that we just called Leatherface the pretty face. I just got to say that.
You're the prettiest face in the crowd. There we go.
Okay.
But by the way, I'd like to say a shout out to Cindy for making this happen as well.
She's really fantastic. So now you're excited. You're on tour. Everyone go check him out. Can you tell us where you're going to be?
Oh, absolutely. The aforementioned Son of Monster Palooza next weekend.
In Burbank.
In Burbank. Then Sixth Street Massacre and Chainsaw Massacre in Amarillo, Texas on the 25th and 26th. Oh, wow. One stop party and costume shop in Rolla, Missouri on Tuesday the 29th. Cinema Wasteland the first weekend of October.
Where's that at? Where's that at?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh, nice. That's, I'm from Ohio, so that's why I was kind of curious about the Mansfield thing.
And then Columbus Day weekend, I'll be at Laurel's House of Horrors in Laurel, Maryland. Cool. The next weekend after that, I will be in Buffalo for the Buffalo Comic Con. The third weekend, the 22nd through the 25th, I'll be at Pinhead's Graveyard in Asheville, North Carolina, and then down to Dungeon Scream Park in Jacksonville, Florida.
You have a hell of a tour.
It's a hell of a tour, and I love it.
Guys, everyone go say hi. Check him out. Are you going to do your face at all? Are you going to be in costume at all for any of this?
No.
Okay. So he's the guy that won't. He'll be the least creepy looking fellow at all of these events.
Well, Summer Helene, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I've been to some of these things. So, yeah, they're great. They're a good time. So, and you'll have all the pictures from the movies and the things there and your banner. Because I've met Gunnar Hansen and Kane and Dan Yeager, who was, I think, the most current or the last Leatherface.
Yeah, I called Dan. First of all, Gunnar's a very good friend of mine. I called Dan Yeager the new kid.
The new kid, he was a great guy. He was just a great guy to talk to, too. Now, was your Leatherface shot in Texas?
Mine was the first one to be shot outside of Texas.
Okay, because I could say there have been seven five of those were in Texas. One was in Cali, and one was in Louisiana. So you were which one, California or Louisiana?
Yes, mine was the one in California.
Do you know where that? And they're working on an eighth one right now. Do you know where they're shooting that one?
They shot it in Bulgaria, believe it or not.
In Bulgaria?
Yes.
Are there some incentives I don't know about here? Come on, guys, tell the studios. Us poor little studio people here, we need to save some money, make our budgets look good.
The next Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I think is coming out in, January, February, maybe? sometime in 2016, was shot in Bulgaria.
Okay, I feel less bad for sending my friends to Bolivia now.
Bolivia.
It pays well. So that's pretty cool. They shot that in Bulgaria. So you shot yours in California.
Yes.
That's very, very cool.
Did they try to recreate the house?
They built a house set.
Just like the one from the, because it's always the same house. And did they have the swing in front of it? Because Dan was very, very excited to show me.
John is really specific on this.
Well, the swing is one of the coolest shots in all of horror films in the first film. When the chick stands up and walks toward the house and there's that tracking shot. You know what I'm talking about, R.A., right? The tracking shot.
I have a vague memory of it, but not a very clear memory. And I don't remember specifically a swing on our set.
I'm out geeking Leatherface. This could be a new.
John, go to the corner, John.
This is a great moment for me. My work here is done. No, it's one of the great shots in the first film, and Dan and I talked about it because they had made sure that the swing that's out in the yard. If you go back and revisit the first film, or just look it up on YouTube, the first girl that comes up to the house, her boyfriend just got nailed across the head by Leatherface the first time you see him, and she hears it and she stands up and she walks toward the house. There's this totally awesome tracking shot of the camera going under the swing following her, and the house just looms up over her.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It's one of the great shots of horror films as far as I'm concerned. But anyway,
you know, I don't know that much about horror. Horror films scare me. I'm a big baby. Yes, I make movies and I'm still scared of it. I think about as scary as I go is trauma. I have a great relationship with trauma. I mean, you guys are talking about real horror. You're talking about great horror films. No offense to the Toxic Avenger, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
I want to throw in horror. here for RA too. RA, do you know what distinction your Leatherface has also when it comes to ratings?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. The last movie to get a formal X rating.
Yes.
Really?
His Leatherface.
Summer Herlene, you're talking to an X-rated movie star.
Ooh,
the last X-rated movie star.
That is pretty bad. That's very cool. I didn't know that.
NC-17 came into effect right after that film.
Yeah, that caused us a lot of problems. We actually lost our original release date, we were scheduled for theatrical release on November, I think it was November 3rd, 1989. They bumped us back to, I think it was January 7th, 1990. And, you know, January is a very bad time to release a movie.
Yeah, I can tell you from my experience, if someone tells me they want to push mine out in January, I cry.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know, you know, I had no control or any say in it whatsoever.
You know what, though, to have that bad, anyone outside the industry, for those of you that want to get in, don't go around that time. You want when the tent poles are hitting, you want the holidays. There are times you want, and that is not it. But to make the impact you did and to work such an iconic character, that's very unique. Your film, you know, a film is great when at that time of year it can get any kind of tracking.
You know, that the week we opened, we were number 11th, I believe. If we had opened November 3rd, we would have got the Halloween draft, and I'm sure we would have been in the top. Well, obviously, we would have been in the top 10, and who knows how high up.
My money would be on one. You release on Halloween. You release Leatherface on Halloween. You got a number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That was that is what my friends and I over at the studios like to refer to as film sabotage. That's taking a great film and putting it out at a bad time of year.
That's another complete story for off the record someday.
Yes, sir. But I like that. So you got the last X rating.
Yes.
I like that. That's a very unique distinction.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I try to use it to my advantage.
Really? Well, I'm really curious now. So I like that. You're going to be on tour. Guys, if you want to check him out, you can check out R.A. Mihailov. He is on tour. He's running around everywhere. I forgot like half the places he's going to be. Google it. You want to contact. Where can we find out about these?
Right with Cindy Hendricks Hennig.
All right, guys, if you want to find out more about this, contact Cindy Honig. You guys know I love her. She's on the show a lot. She's one of our consultants. She'll come on, give you guys great advice on what to do with your career. She wrote a number one best-selling book, Fabulous Woman. Check out Cindy Honig if you want to get to Mr. Mihailov here. So call Cindy Honig and hear about R.A. Mihailov. Check her out at pureprokc.com.
Does he have a Facebook page? Does R.A.? Are you on Facebook?
I do have a Facebook page.
And you post those appearances on there and stuff? You link them to the – because all these horror conventions all have their own Facebook page as well. I mean, that's how I find out about a lot of stuff too.
Yeah, that's something I probably ought to look into. You are talking to someone Alexis had to set this phone call up for us.
For those of you that don't know, Alexis is my assistant. I got to go get my hair done by Beauty by Tiffany right now because I got to go to the African Oscars. We are on with R.A. Mihailov. Thank you so much for being on the show. Guys, I promise I will post links to his appearances. John, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And we hope to have you on again, Mr. Mihailov.
Anytime. I'm just a Skype call away. Thank you for having me on the show, Summer Helene.
No problem. Guys, thanks for joining us on Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We'll talk to you next week. We'll have John on again. And I promise we'll post on Mr. Mihailov's appearances. And y'all go say hi to Leatherface for us.
Thank you.